morning. We'd like to welcome everyone to Wigan Baptist Church this morning. Just a few announcements, and we'll get started with our worship service. If you are visiting with us today, or if you have any prayer requests or any needs, these are inserted in the bulletin. You can use it to fill it out, put it in the offering plate, or hand it to one of the deacons, or hand it to Brother Tim, and we'll make sure it's getting taken care of. Upcoming events, tomorrow, October 16th, tomorrow night, our church will be feeding the English as a second language class at First Baptist in Cairo. There's a list of items to sign up for that we need. It's in the back of the church, so there's still a few things we might could use. If you'll have them here at the church as quick as you can, bring them tonight or tomorrow, we'll pick them up. Titus 2 Women's Ministry Meeting is October 17th at 6:30 p.m. here at the church. October the 18th, Wednesday night, we'll have our supper at 6:30 p.m. prior to a prayer meeting. So we would like to invite everyone to come and enjoy that time of fellowship with us. There is a sign-up sheet in the back. If you plan on attending, that'll give us a kind of an estimate of how many to prepare for. But I promise you, if you don't sign up, still come. Or if you know somebody, we'll have plenty. Okay? If not, we'll go find some. Well, I'm sure we will. But there is a sign-up sheet in the back. October 29th is fifth Sunday dinner here after the morning worship service. October 31st is trunk or treat from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. here at the church. Remember that. Any other announcements? Busy week. I know it's not in the bulletin, but we have ESL tomorrow night, Tuesday night. The ladies are meeting. Tuesday night is associational fall meeting. Supper Wednesday night. Thursday night is the Association of Men's meeting at Providence. So if there's any, if you're planning on attending, if you want to ride together or something, some of us will be here at the church. It starts at 6:30, Tim?
Yes.
We'll be here at the church around 6 if you want to ride with any of us or anything. Or you can meet us out there at Providence. You know, it's right down the road. It's not 20 miles away. Any volunteers for Friday night, y'all? But we are blessed, and I just like to personally thank everyone that's involved in this. And as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, all these things that we are doing, we're doing it for the glory of God and to bring the gospel message to people. Never forget that. Birthdays? Any birthdays? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Be in prayer for the ones that are lost loved ones recently, and continue to be in prayer. I know you are. Continue to be in prayer for Israel and the Middle East as things have heated up over there. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. I do just want to come today, Lord, just praising your name and giving you the glory, Lord. And Lord, we do just pray for the ones that have lost loved ones and the others that are maybe suffering today, Lord. We just want to put them in your hands today, Lord, but we just want to give you the glory, Lord, no matter what is going on, Lord. Lord, we do lift up Israel and the Middle East situation to you today, Lord. We just pray for, we pray for peace, Lord, but we also understand, Lord, the right for people to protect lives and property, Lord. And Lord, we do just want to pray for Brother Tim today, Lord, as he proclaims your word today, Lord, and presents your word today. I just pray, Lord, that we will come together today as we start our worship service, Lord. And so much is going on, Lord, but let us put all that behind us right now, Lord, and let us focus on worshiping you. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Here.
Well, I do sense a little bit of competitiveness in the men's and women's ministry. Do you feel that a little bit?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to share exactly how many were there our last meeting, but we did pretty good, and we had some people out. Matthew was out of town. I think we missed him, but y'all get with it. Y'all gonna really have to get on it to catch us, man. So y'all, but we hope that y'all, in the bottom of my heart, I hope that each one outdoes the other one every other time. How about that? Just keep it growing. So that's, we're having a good time today. This morning, our call to worship is His Name is Wonderful. Hymn 203, let's all stand as we sing, His Name is Wonderful. so precious to me. We'll sing first, second, and last verses.
Sacrificially to your kingdom, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that here at Women Baptist Church, that we use all our monies, Lord, in a way to promote you and give you glory and just to share the gospel with people. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you. Because the King James Version used to name it as the Holy Ghost. And so in our minds, we think of the Holy Spirit as being Casper, right? We just go here and there and all these things. But the Holy Spirit is a person just as real as God is, just as real as Jesus is. But we come to this verse, and we're just going to go ahead and read it. Ephesians 4, verse 30. Paul writes, he says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." We pray with me. Heavenly Fathers, we have read this verse, Lord, and we'll read many, many others this morning. But God, I pray that you would just give us insight, give us wisdom into your word. Lord, help us to look into our lives, Lord, because your word tells us that if we are saved, that the Holy Spirit has came and took up residence within our lives, within our hearts. And so, Lord, this morning I pray that we would just see, Lord, what it is that we are to do and what we are not to do, because the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us. Lord, we don't want to hurt you. We don't want to hurt Jesus, and we don't want to hurt or grieve the Holy Spirit either. So, Lord, I pray with our intent this morning is to honor and glorify you. And, Lord, just help us to look at our lives, examine our lives to see what and how we line up with your word today. Lord, I pray that you would have your way in our hearts and lives. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if we realize that part of the Holy Spirit's job, so to speak, or responsibility is to bring believers into a place where they look more and more like Jesus, they walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, think like Jesus, all the things about his life, our lives should begin to look more and more like him. It doesn't happen overnight. Amen. I've been a Christian for a long time, for almost 50 years, and I'm still not where I need to be. Okay? I'll just be honest with that, transparent. But the Holy Spirit is working on me, and he should continue to work on us until we breathe our last breath here on earth. And then we will be truly sanctified in the presence of God, and we'll see him face to face, and we will know him as he is, and we'll know ourselves as we are. But here in this one verse, Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, what does the word grieve mean? Now, for most of us, we tend to put the word grieve with grief. We tend to, when we lose a loved one, we grieve them. We have a heartfelt sorrow. And so I want us to look at what Webster tells us. Webster tells us that it means a deep feeling emotion, or to feel deep emotional or physical pain, distress, or to afflict one with sorrow. So, that means that when you and I grieve the Holy Spirit of God, what have we done? We have inflicted pain upon Him. It's not enough that we have nailed Jesus to the cross, amen? Because your sins put Him there, my sins put Him on that cross. But when we grieve the Holy Spirit, we put physical pain upon Him. We put emotional pain upon Him. We distress Him, and we inflict Him with sorrow. Now, as you think about that, I want us to think about this. As a child, did you ever do something? Well, let me rephrase that. As a child or a teenager, did you ever do anything that inflicted grief to your parents? I shouldn't tell this story, but I am. When I was 16, I left home. I think I've mentioned that before, but the day I left home, I had my own car, paid my own insurance, and all that. And my dad wanted me to go to the preacher's birthday party with him. Well, guess what? I didn't like the preacher. I didn't want to go. I had been accused of doing things in church that I didn't do. But there are a lot of things I did in church that I should have gotten in trouble for, right? But the thing was, is I did not want to go. Dad wanted me to go, and I said, I am not going. He said, give me your keys. I said, that's my car, my title, my insurance. I'm not giving up my keys. Needless to say, he wanted my keys, and I said no. And he said, no, I just want to spend some time with you. And I remember looking him dead in the eyes, and I said, well, where have you been the last 16 years? As an idiot 16-year-old, I did not realize that my dad worked his backside off to support five kids. Oftentimes, months leading up to Christmas, he would work full-time with the Navy. He'd work a part-time job, and he'd work a third job at times, just trying to give us things we wanted or things that we needed. I was an idiot. But when I said those words to my dad, he looked me in the eye, and he had tears running down his face. And he turned around and he walked off, and as he was walking off, he said, you don't understand. One day you will. I brought grief to my dad. But as I thought about this passage and thought about how when we do things on purpose, sometimes we do things and we don't understand, we don't realize what we're doing, and that may cause some harm, some sorrow, some grief. But I think the worst thing we can do as people, as individuals, whether you're a child, a teenager, or an adult, is to do something on purpose to cause harm and grief to somebody else. And especially if you put it in context as your relationship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, when we do those things, because all of us are going to fall into this from time to time, amen? The reality is that we don't have to stay in the ditch. Right? And we're not supposed to just drive off into the ditch on purpose. We're to try our best to drive the straight line. Yes, every once in a while we're going to make a wrong turn. We're going to slip and slide into some area. But our main goal should be to honor the Lord and not to grieve His Holy Spirit. So, number one, how do we grieve the Holy Spirit? The first area I believe that we grieve the Holy Spirit is when we willfully disobey Him. Have you ever disobeyed the Holy Spirit? Well, let's try this on for size. You're driving down the road and you see Brother So-and-so out in his yard or somebody across the street, and you're driving past them and you drive by them. Somebody's telling you, hey, you need to stop and see them. What do you do? Man, it's getting late. I need to eat. And we keep on going. Because Satan's not going to tell you to stop and visit somebody for the Lord. I'm sorry. He's just not going to do it. Amen. So who was it that was leading you to do that? It was the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit put something on your heart to do something good for somebody and you don't do it, what does the Bible say? You grieve the Holy Spirit. You see, when we have those ears in our lives where we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is coming from God, it does not go against His Word, and we refuse to do it, we grieve the Holy Spirit. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "You are of pure eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he?" You see, we often compare ourselves to somebody else and say, "Well, I'm already doing more than so-and-so." You see, we often fail to realize that God hates sin. God hates any kind of sin. Amen? Sin is sin. It doesn't matter. I know some denominations say, well, if you sin this sin, you're going to lose your salvation, and you got to get saved again. You got to get baptized again. Can I tell you that's hogwash? If you're saved, you're saved. Amen? But if you are saved, you shouldn't want to hurt the Holy Spirit. You should not want to willfully sin against God. And Isaiah 63 gives us an example of the nation of Israel and how they grieved the Holy Spirit of God. You say, "Well, I thought the Holy Spirit didn't show up until the New Testament." I'm sorry, but if you were told that, you're wrong. Okay? Whoever told you that was wrong. Isaiah 63, verse 10, it said, "But they rebelled and grieved His holy," what? "Spirit. So He turned against them as an enemy, and He fought against them." I'm going to tell you, I got enough problems in life without God fighting against me.
Amen?
Amen? Look at that verse. I'm not. It's there. God fought against His own people. Why? Because they were grieving His Holy Spirit. I got enough trouble. Amen? Holy Spirit's job is to lead us, to guide us, to teach us in the ways of God. It is His job to comfort us in times of trouble, and He is there to bring peace into our lives. But He is just as much a person as you and I are, other than He is God. In John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus is saying these words before He leaves this earth. He's telling His disciples, He was saying when He leaves, He says, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you the things," or tell you things to come. In John 16, verse 8, this is not up there because I just remembered this verse this morning. John 16, 8 says that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. You see, the Holy Spirit is an important part of our lives. When we choose to sin, we grieve and bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit. His desire is to make us look more like Christ each and every day. But the reality sets in. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I..." When we don't do the things he tells us to, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, how can we call him Lord if we don't do what he tells us to do? You see, when we grieve the Holy Spirit, there are times we live on our own, so to speak. Galatians 5:19 through 20. Let me turn over there real quick. Talk about things of the flesh. 19 through 20, it says, "Now the works of the flesh," am I on the right spot? 17, 18, yeah. "The works of the flesh are evident, for they are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not..." What? Ooh. I don't even have to say anymore, do I? A child of God should not want to continue in sin. If somebody can sin against the Holy Spirit of God and continue in that lifestyle for a long time, you really have to examine your life to see whether you're in the faith or not. Because there should be something that comes along and wakes you up. Your parents ever do that to you? You thought you were doing everything right, and they kept telling you, "Watch out, watch out, watch out," and all of a sudden you did something and you wasn't supposed to, and maybe something got broke. And what did they do? They came in and gave you discipline, right? I know today's kids don't know what discipline is from our generation, amen? Time out never did me any good, just gave me more time to think about how I can get in more trouble, amen? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6 says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you have been..." Or when you are rebuked by him in God, for whom the Lord loves, he does what? He chastens, he disciplines, and scourges every son whom he receives. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. You can choose to grieve the Holy Spirit. But don't be surprised when you face the judgment of God, the chastisement of God on you, your life, your family, whatever you do, because sooner or later, God is a just God. Amen? And we cannot allow children to continue just doing their own thing without correction. And if you are a child of God and God is a perfect, just God, you can't think that you're going to keep on doing what you're doing and get away with it without being chastised. So we grieve the Holy Spirit when we willfully disobey. We also, point number two, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we disbelieve and doubt God. Man, this goes right along with the Sunday school lesson. How many, and I'm going to... Here I am being transparent again. How many times have you doubted God? How many times have you disbelieved him? Oh, I think about the nation of Israel. They're standing on the banks. God tells Moses, you tell them to cross over. And the people said, no, we're not going to go because they got giants across the river. We're not going to go. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? How many times has God told you to do something that you don't believe you've gotten? You know, I mean, Moses is another prime example. God says, Moses, I want you to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And what's the first thing he did does? He gives an excuse. What was the first excuse? I can't talk. Now, he had a Hebrew mom, and he was raised in an Egyptian Pharaoh's house. Don't you think for a minute he didn't have the best education money could have bought? He went to the Ivy League, right, of Egypt. He was it. He knew. But yet his excuse was, God, I can't speak. So God said, don't worry about that. I got your brother Aaron, and he'll be your mouthpiece. Whatever I tell you, he'll be there with you, and he will relay the message. I'm paraphrasing, right? Moses said, how am I going to make him know? And he said, well, take this rod. You see, it's not about what you think you need. It's what God's already given to you that he wants you to use. Because even with the staff that Moses carried around, God said, what? What's that you got in your hand? Throw it on the ground. Go back and read the story. I'm not making this up. And what did the rod do? It turned into a serpent, and he picked it up by the tail and turned back into a rod. You see, God just wants you to believe that he can do what he tells you to do. And he's not going to lead you to do something that he's not going to empower and equip you to do. Don't think you got to get educated to work for God. Just surrender your heart, life, and will to him, and he will use you. God just wants you to be available. Man. Ephesians 5:18, the Lord tells us, Paul tells us that we are to be filled with the Spirit. But anytime we disbelieve and doubt God, it's not that we're losing our salvation, but man, have you ever went to somebody hoping they could help you and they say they will, but then you doubt they will? It's kind of like God. What we do to him, we say, well, you know, God, we know, kind of like in the Sunday school lesson again, you know, Lord, I believe, kind of, sort of, maybe, but I'm not all in yet. Some of us need to get all in, amen? Some of us need to just surrender our lives and say, here it is. In Psalm 78:22, it tells us that the Israelites, once again, grieved God because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his what? Salvation. How can we say we believe God to save us if we won't even believe him enough to trust that he can lead us from one day to the next, or from one problem to the next? At least 10, I'm going to give you a job to do this week, homework, okay? Read Psalm 78. It, 10 times it describes God's anger, wrath, whether he was furious, provoked, grieved, and vexed by the nation of Israel. 10 times. In Numbers 14:11, says the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me, and how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? Man. You see, grieving the Holy Spirit does not, if we are saved, it does not kick us out of salvation. But it does hurt our relationship. And you say, well, how is that? Well, have you ever had a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or husband, or wife, and I'm just throwing this out there, or even children that you had trust issues with? Father, When you have trust issues with you, somebody who is related to you, you're still related to that person, amen? But your relationship with them has been what? Compromised. It has been kind of built a wall between you, because when you can't trust somebody, you got issues. And when you're telling God that you don't trust him, you're really practicing atheism. Amen? Because atheists don't believe there's a God, and there's a God that can't do nothing if he is God. So if we say that we believe God, but we don't believe he can do anything, what are we really acting like? We're acting like atheists. Moving on then. Third way we grieve the Holy Spirit is through indifference or disregard to the things of God. So how is that? The result of being filled with the Holy Spirit is to have a love for the things of God. We should have a desire to read the Word of God. We should have a desire to be in fellowship with other believers. We should have a desire to be in prayer with the Lord. And if you're like me, you feel like you don't pray near as much as you should. Amen. But the problem is that when this is a we get to a point in life where it doesn't even bother you anymore. There's serious problems. In Romans 5:5, it tells us the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" You see, if God is in us, we should desire to live differently. We should have a desire to honor, to love, and to please him and him only. One of the worst ways we can be offended is when we walk up to somebody and they act like they don't know you. Amen. That's probably got to be the lowest thing. You walk up to a group of people you've known your whole life, and they just keep on talking. They don't look at you. They don't acknowledge you. They can't remember your name, which I'm terrible about names, so it's not on purpose. But here's the thing. When we ignore the Holy Spirit in our lives, it grieves him. It grieves him. The fourth point. And this is probably one that's going to step on our toes today. The Holy Spirit is grieved when we put a stumbling block in front of others. When we put a stumbling block, say, "Well, I don't do that." Okay, let's check it out. Romans 14:13 says, "Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way." 1 Corinthians 8:9 says, "Beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak." In Leviticus 19:14, it says, "You shall not curse the deaf nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God. I am the Lord." Now, let me back this up for just a moment. In the Romans passage and 1 Corinthians passages, Paul is speaking in context about food, okay? In other words, he's telling us, don't do anything that's going to cause a person who is weaker in their faith to stumble in their faith. But here again, like in Sunday school this morning, when you take what you are doing, whether it's by food or by drink or by the way you walk, the way you talk, by the word you speak, when you as a believer cause somebody else to stumble in their faith, you have put a stumbling block in front of them. When you do that, I believe you grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, the passage in Leviticus is talking about those who are deaf and those who are blind. When we do things that cause other people not to hear the Word of God, hear me closely on this. When we do think, whether it's a text message to somebody, whether it's beating somebody to death on Facebook, on, well, I guess it's not Twitter anymore, it's X, right? Snapchat, whatever, you're blasting somebody. Are people looking to Jesus or are they looking to your words? Are you putting a stumbling block in front of them or are you leading them to the cross? But you know what? That can even happen with blind people, because that passage in Leviticus talks about the deaf or the blind. When we call somebody else not to be able to hear the message of God, because the Word of God is supposed to always accomplish what it's been sent to do, when we call somebody to stumble in their faith and how they live, and if they can respond to the gospel, because if we're distracting them, how are they going to hear? You see, blindness, deafness is talking about in Leviticus those who refuse to hear. It wasn't necessarily just somebody who was deaf. It was talking about scripturally, and the Bible's talking about those who have heard, but they're not hearing spiritually. Same way with the blind. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about the blind man. Maybe it was last Sunday, I don't remember. We talked about, have you seen Jesus? I think was the title of my message. Have you seen Jesus? And Jesus tells the Pharisees that they say they can see, therefore their sin remains. But if they had been blind, they would be able to see. In other words, they'd be able to see the truth of who Jesus was. My point is simply this. If we are a distraction to those who are trying to hear, if we are causing them to be distracted by what we say, by what we do, by what we're doing, whether it's in church, out of church, whether it's at the movies or at the grocery store, when we do things that cause the attention to be taken off of Jesus and placed on us, can I tell you, we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God? Some people. And just don't understand. I'm assuming because they... And as a pastor, I've done it long enough. I can tell when somebody's on a cell phone. I can tell when they're texting. I can tell when they're flipping through the Bibles, trying not to hear what the preacher's got to say, or when they're trying to distract themselves or trying to distract other people so they don't have to hear. But you know, when you're doing that, you're also causing somebody else to be distracted where they don't hear and where they don't see. And when we do that, we place a stumbling block in front of them. None of us, I believe, none of us here today would say, I want to keep somebody out of heaven. Would you say that? Would you ever say that? No, our desire should be for people to come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so our desire should be to never distract somebody else from hearing the Word of God. Because people need to be saved. People need the Word of God to make a change in their lives. Man, we don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody else because of what we do. So what happens? What happens when we grieve the Holy Spirit? We'll close with this. When we are redeemed by God, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You can never undo the seal that God places on you. Amen? I'm thankful for that, because if it was up to me to keep my salvation, I'd have lost it a long time ago. And my Bible also tells me that if Jesus' death on the cross wasn't enough the first time, he would have to keep coming back over and over again to die on the cross again to save me again. So, once saved, always saved. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Once that seal is placed on you, you are God's forever. No one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. But one commentator, Herbert Lockyer, said this: by grieving the Holy Spirit, we do not lose the seal nor drive the Holy Spirit out of our hearts, which of course is impossible. When we grieve the Spirit, we lose the joy, the power, and assurance of the saved state. Man, that speaks a lot. He said, well, what do I do if I know I've been a stumbling block? My favorite verse. And this is one of my favorite verses because I have to keep coming back to it over and over and over again. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But like, as I said the other night, you know, there's a part about confession and repentance. What does repentance mean? It means that I was going this way and then Jesus got a hold of me and I did what? I turn around, I'm not doing what I'm not supposed to be doing, and now I'm doing what I am supposed to be doing. You see, you need to be that type of person. When we're not being the type of person that the Holy Spirit wants us to be, we lose the joy of our salvation. I think we looked at this Wednesday night, Psalm 51, verse 12. Paul cried out to the Lord. He said, "And restore to me the joy of your salvation." He's not talking about his salvation, because salvation is in the Lord and only through the Lord. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." Man, there's nothing we can do without the Lord in our hearts. There's nothing good we can do. But man, there's a lot we can do to distract people. There's a lot we can do to distract ourselves. Confession and repentance are the key to having restoration in the Lord. Let me ask you this morning, do you have the Holy Spirit living in you? Are you sure? Are you sure? How do you know? Is the Holy Spirit leading you to do good? Is he leading your life? Is he convicting you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment that one day is going to come? That's his job. He's to teach us, to guide us, to lead us, not to do the things we want to do or what the devil wants us to do, but do things that honor and please the Lord. If you know you're saved, are you walking in the Spirit? Paul talks about it over and over and over again, walk in the Spirit. He's talking about your daily lifestyle, not just one day a week, amen? Your daily lifestyle. Not just on Sunday, but every day. Who are you following? Are you following the Holy Spirit or following the devil? Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you being a stumbling block to those around you? Let me just say this. If you don't know you're saved, you can know. 1 John 5:13, I believe it is. "These things I have written to you, so that those who believe in me may know they have eternal life." Man, God wants you to know. You know why God wants you to know you're saved? Because as long as you're doubting your salvation, you're never going to do anything for him. Satan loves that. If you're just a halfway knowing Christian, well, I want you to know this big old scale up there in heaven, and maybe one day my good is going to outweigh my bad. It don't work that way, amen? Either you got Jesus on your scale or you ain't. even on the scale. If you're not sure, I want you to be sure. If you're not walking in the Spirit, ask yourself why. Ask yourself why. What is there that's keeping you from walking with the Lord, walking in His ways? What is keeping you from just saying, okay, Lord, here I am. I'm going to follow you. We sing the song, wherever He leads, I'll go. But how many of us are really telling the truth? If you know you're being a stumbling block, first thing you need to do is confess it. Admit, confess, and turn from it. You know what you need to do. My words are no good. But if you've heard from the Holy Spirit today, then you know what you need to do. And I encourage you not to leave here until you take care of it. Why? Because Satan will put a stumbling block in your path. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, I pray that you would have your way. Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to those who may not be saved, or maybe they've never trusted in you. Maybe they've been good people. Maybe they've been to church. Maybe they give tithe. But Lord, they've never truly given their life to you. Lord, I pray today would be the day. But Lord, I also realize that there are many here that may be saying, Lord, I didn't realize that I've been being a stumbling block to others. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sin, my fault, my failure. Lord, help me to walk in your strength and in your power. Lord, help me to walk the straight line as best I can. Not in my strength, but in yours. Lord, I pray that just whatever you want to do today, Lord, however you have spoken to each individual's heart, Lord, I pray that we would not have just heard your words, but Lord, I pray that we would do your words as James tells us. So Lord, I pray that you would do your work in our lives in this invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand?